Making order. You can make and maintain quite a bit of order, this classroom teacher can tell you, without needing a whole lot of systematic, heavy-handed limiting of people's rights. And it can all be fairly flexible and friendly, especially once people believe that they will actually benefit from the amount of structure you decide is necessary. No one needs to die or be vaporized or anything. In fact, any good parent, coach, director, or other person who tastefully, almost invisibly adds some order to any kind of people chaos can tell you that what you want is a lively dance between impulsivity and plan, whim and policy, energy and restraint. One of the things that marks a professional is the ability to make snap decisions that roll with the punches, ones that make sense given sudden and unexpected turns of events. Kung Fu style, the giver of structure may be, at times, utterly inflexible, an impassable wall to certain misbehavior. Yet the same person can abruptly decide to turn to water and flow around and through obstacles, snapping into a new form of structure in the blink of an eye. This is one of the moves that makes an adult someone who children can't get around, the switch. I have found that to a large degree, once you remove yourself from the watchful eyes of your parents and church, you are being your own parent, your own pastor, and you should be a good one. You need to provide your days with the life, the inspiration, and the engagement, as well as the plans, limits, and policies. If you loathe yourself and feel nothing but disrespect and disdain towards you, an attitude quite at odds with the one God has towards you and commands everyone to have towards you as well, you can become your own tyrant. So don't do that, obviously. Be kind to yourself. No hating. People who think the Bible is only intended to inspire caution, order, ethics, rules, and structure are missing a whole lot of it. I know it's the Bible and everything, but sometimes even people in the Bible have to say, you know what? Why not? It's not always, no. People God blesses really do say, why not, sometimes in the Bible, because this is part of what living people do. They get ideas. They get inspired, sometimes by the Holy Spirit himself. It's not always deeply underlined in Bible studies that sometimes God was telling people all the specifics and was looking for obedience, but other times, decisions were being left to the people's own discretion. The tabernacle had to be a certain number of cubits wide here and made of specific stuff, but the decorations and fancy work, the exact nature of the cherubim on the mercy seat, sometimes they were just told to do some. It's like when God let Adam decide what the animals were going to be called and watched him name them to see what names he'd choose. You know what? I think I'm going to name that animal a jujube. No, wait. I'll call it a zebra. Yes, a zebra. To rhyme with Debra in Britain and Debra in America, once those countries exist. Yep.
Amen.
In Canada, they will say Zed for the letter of the alphabet like the British, but call this animal a zebra like Americans. Canadians will be weird.
For sure, but polite, at least compared to Americans anyway.
Yeah, but how polite will that be, really? Some will be slightly more polite than some Americans. Hardly anything to brag about.
Yes. But what are you going to call that one over there with the neck?
A turnip! No, an ostrich.
Okay. Interesting. We'll go with that then.
In fact, quite often, God honors stuff like that. Kind of follows our decisions. Collaborates, like a parent letting a child choose which kind of ice cream the family will be having after supper. God doesn't make all of our life decisions for us, refuses to do that, in fact. Try to make him and see. You will wait until the grave for him to cooperate. So you will have to decide various things in your life. God will leave it up to you to decide things, and he won't simply tell you what to do every time, no matter how hard you ask. And clearly, as part of living, sometimes you get it wrong. And that is often okay. You can just go ask God, why didn't you like that? Why didn't that work out? Cain, for one, didn't handle things in this way. You can notice that things are working out well for the next guy over, and you can go over and try and figure out what he's doing right. Or you can get a rock and go murder your brother for being different from you, because you don't want there to be two sides to the thing, and you feel the need to control the situation and exert your own influence with that rock or a Bible verse. One interesting thing is that when we are juxtaposing order and chaos, it is chaos that has more to do with life and possibility. Now, religions other than Judaism and its sequels tend to envision the cosmos being made of chaos to begin with. What we would think of as empty space existing before everything came into being, they would think of as a chaotic mess of stuff, crazy, unbridled, unformed energy and possibility, waiting to be molded into what we know now. In their mythic stories, chaos stuff is taken and formed into something more stable so that life can last and thrive in constant, diverse forms in it. To this way of thinking, chaos is a breeding ground for life. The creation myths of ancient cultures are about there already being lots and lots of stuff there and order being imposed upon it. Dragons and warriors or mothers and fathers and children war, and they are killed and dismembered, and their dismembered members become continents or mountains or whatever. Things like that. To the Judeo-Christian mind and to the modern scientific mind as well, really, the cosmos was at first nothing, emptiness. In a time before time existed, for the longest time, all that there was nothing. That's what was. All the energy, inspiration, and possibilities were in God's head, were a gleam in his eye, so to speak, waiting to be spoken into reality, perhaps with a big bang sound. That's Judeo-Christian wording. To a more scientific heart, one might choose to say, the mathematics were waiting to happen. The equations, formulas, and numbers were gazing eagerly upon the opportunity to have molecules to which they might apply themselves. In the story I'm used to, God adds thing after thing to all of the nothingness until the earth and the universe are teeming with things he thought of and spoke into ordered forms. In the very latest scientific creation myths, he brings all the life from what is already on the earth. He brings it forth from the sea, from the primordial ooze, the mud, the dust of the earth. He speaks order into the chaos. Life and order doing a dance together. I am afraid of nothing. Growing up, what was missing was the life. The order, the control, the structure, the limits, we more than had covered. I think the worst thing that ever happened to me growing up was all the nothing. I tell my students now that with where we live in darkest Canada, in all likelihood, unless they work pretty hard, nothing's ever going to happen to them. Really nothing. Nothing very bad, if the lives of people in the whole world are used to put things into perspective. And if they're not very, very smart, hardworking, and or talented, nothing terribly good will likely happen to them either. A lot of people leave where they grew up and go to another place, hoping that something will have happened to them just by doing that. Italy, Spain, Israel, Ecuador. They think going somewhere else actually makes them different, more interesting. Apart from perhaps an interesting meal or view they can photograph, often all that happens is they find they are still themselves, but geographically, somewhere else for a time, and nothing much besides their going there happens. Travel will often just spread people over more planet. It can be broadening and thinning. I don't fear chaos as much as I fear nothing. I need God to show up and do things to, around, with, and through me. I need to be inspired. I need to do things myself. I need to become a better me. Human systems are often built by and for people who are terrified by the very idea that something or someone somewhere is going to possibly get out of control and do something. Because this happens so rarely in our Western culture, it makes big news stories every time someone does anything much at all besides upgrade Windows or get a new iThing. I'd like to imagine that my life is going to be memorable. I think it is a far more likely fate that nothing much will ever happen to me. Joining and serving and changing human systems doesn't seem to be a sensible thing in which to put my hope. And systems I have been adjunct to seldom provide much beside a celebration of being part of them. Perhaps a warm feeling that things are well ordered in that system, that committees have been tasked, issues tabled, and items spoken to. Or, more often, committees have been tabled, items have been spoken to, and tasks issued. Sometimes, tables have been spoken to and tasks itemized while committees were rolled over, out, and into the next pay period. But I haven't actually been part of very many systems at all, and I think it's safe to say I've pretty much never had a positive or helpful group experience of any kind. Everything good that I ever saw involved at most three people, really, and none of them had ties on or official titles. In my experience, most systems are uncomfortable with much of anything happening very quickly. Certainly anything happening unexpectedly, it all needs to be planned and budgeted and documented, with lots of notification, strategizing, synergy, and hearing people's concerns first. It can't just be stuff going around happening, and it needs to involve a ridiculously large number of people. And these people tend to get very uppity if any lone person starts succeeding at doing something that they had already appointed a task force to look into the feasibility of raising awareness regarding possibly doing at an opportune point in time at some juncture in the future, perhaps starting next fiscal year. Human systems seem to me to be primarily about making sure all manner of unpredictable, uncontrollable things probably won't ever happen, and then planning endlessly around what are manifestly non-events. Things that never become any realer than all the talking and maybe a zippy acronym and colorful bracelet or t-shirt. Oh, and an awful lot of congratulating people if they've so much as brought donuts. Let's take a moment, folks, to really just pat ourselves on the back. Clearly, it's value added for the entire virtual team at this point in time moving forward. It's key. Check the optics. I guess what I'm asking, in my snarky, rhetorical way, is where's the life, the inspiration, the action, the involvement, the actuality when people build their systems to make the world a better place? I see order and structure and celebration of same, but little life. If anyone has an idea, it gets fossilized as an acronym and never gets any realer than that. I guess this is why, when I get an idea to do something, I don't check first to see if there's an official church, municipal, or government body already appointed who only get to do that good. I just do things myself. At the school where I first worked, I had a class webpage. It worked great. It had all the due dates and handouts and stuff. I paid an annual fee for my own domain name and kept the whole thing updated and going myself. It was simple and easy, and it worked. Well, a couple of years later, the school board I was then working at sent around someone to introduce us to an exciting new initiative. They were planning on hosting and facilitating teacher webpages. They were excited. We'd all have webpages. Think of the possibilities. They wanted us to be very excited. We stared at them politely. Years later, almost none of the teachers who sat in that room have web pages. Their stuff was too limited, limiting, and controlled for what I wanted, so I just continued paying for my own hosting and domain name and making my own website. One of the first things that happened once that school board got the lumbering infrastructure of its colossal teacher webpage initiative going was that one of their automatic blocking thingies blocked my class website. I had to email them to get it unblocked, which they eventually did. This problem recurred many times. Bureaucracy exists, government bureaucrats tell me, to stop things, bad people. When bureaucracy runs amok, though, it stops almost everyone and everything. We live in societies and move in communities which really, really want to spend all of their time creating one-size-fix-all fixes and structures. If, like me, you find through no fault of your own that you aren't typical, and therefore the typical fixes and structures do not serve you, but serve more to point up the narrowness of vision and planning seen in the systems themselves, you might just have to try a new approach. One size fits me, and I know what size that is, thank you very much. And then, hopefully, you won't have to worry about fighting with yourself and splitting into two warring people who won't speak and are fighting for say over the same turf. Hopefully, you won't have a division.